Aloha. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Today we have the dynamic deacon, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the author of so many books. The one that we, of course, identify with the most is Behold the Man, his book on male spirituality. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha. Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. I want to challenge the men out there. You know, in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah went back to rebuild the wall that had been torn down, that had basically not been torn down, but just been neglected, and so that it fell down. And when he returned to Jerusalem, he had the men come together and start to rebuild, and they began to be successful until it turned out that as they got more successful, the people around them started being jealous and started fighting them. And so the men learned that as one man was building, another man would stand by him with a shield and with a spear. And the people that were bringing them supplies, they would have, they might be carrying a rock in one hand, but they carried a sword already drawn in the other hand. It wasn't in its sheath. And if there was trouble, they would sound the ram's horn and they would come running to help protect that side of the wall. That's what we need right now in this time with men. It's time to step into the breach. In fact, it's time to stand your ground. And I'm going to say it's time to take new ground. And we have someone with us right now to talk with us about that. The dynamic deacon, one of our favorite guests, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Welcome back to the show, Deacon.
Thank you, Bear. It's always great to be with you, my friend.
We have you on, I think, as many as any other guest. Whenever I'm scheduling new shows, I got to have Deacon on again. So we just love having you here.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
What, you know, during this time, this is a recorded show. While we're recording this, we're looking around and we're seeing there's just this upheaval in society. We've had the coronavirus and then we've had this upheaval in the streets. To what extent do you think that's spiritual warfare?
Oh, I think it's very much spiritual warfare. You know, obviously God is not ordaining that these things happen, but he's allowing them through his permissive will. And, you know, I think this is a time of cleansing, you know? This is a time where, you know, things that have been boiling under the surface are finally coming out. And so we see a lot of chaos, a lot of disorder. And what this culture needs and what it's been missing for so long is the voice of the church, the voice of people of faith. When we've been nudged out of the conversation in the public square, issues of faith and life and death have become politicized. So abortion is not a political issue. It's a matter of maintaining the dignity of all human persons from the moment of conception to natural death. So euthanasia, assisted suicide. These are life and death issues that become politicized in our culture. And so because it's become politicized and the majority of people think secularly, they don't think with the mind of faith, we've been removed from that conversation. So we need to be brought back in because that is what's missing is a voice of faith. Because we, as Catholics, have faith and reason. when we're missing faith, we try to fill the gap. What do you fill the gap with? Moral relativism, subjectivism. I am the center of the universe. My feelings and this distorted sense of freedom. Freedom is whatever I want to do. And if you don't let me do whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to call you names, which is what we've been seeing a lot of in our culture today. So for example, with everything that's going on, instead of having a reasoned dialogue, let's sit down like human beings, let's talk about this. Even though we're gonna agree to disagree, let's respect each other in the process. We're just seeing just a bunch of chaos and disorder and rioting and looting and innocent people, property being damaged, innocent people getting hurt, some even killed over all of this. And a very poor response by the secular culture to this. All that indicates to me that the voice of faith and people of faith, and in particularly men of faith, our voices need to be heard now in our culture more than ever.
You know, you look at what's happening in the streets and people are destroying things. They're destroying businesses, which is to say to destroy people's dreams and lives. They're destroying public property. You know, I'm just remembering, it's so much harder to create. It's so easy to destroy. And that's the essence of who Satan is. He can't create anything. All he is is the lack of good. You know, it's the deprivation of good. All he can do is destroy. You know, he seeks to destroy. And so when I see what's going on in the street, it looks an awful lot like the face of Satan to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have people, for example, and we don't want to do virtue signaling either. You know, like, oh, we have these slogans, you know, Black Lives Matter, this, whatever that matter. Look, here's the thing. If that was really true, then who's being hurt? Black-owned businesses. I mean, they have sacrificed and decided to stay in their neighborhoods to help support the people that live in those neighborhoods, to provide goods and services and even job opportunities, folks. And how is that returned? By destroying their own businesses. That makes absolutely no sense to me. So to me, that very much is a demonic force that's at work there. And again, we as people of faith need to counter that. So what have we seen in the media about how people counter that? They have political protests, or they, you know, they have one side versus the other side. And what I see missing in much of the dialogue, at least in the media, the public,
there's no dialogue. There's a narrative. It's like there's a predetermined narrative, but no real dialogue.
And you don't hear the voice of the church very much, quite frankly. I mean, I don't hear the voice of faith strongly calling people to communion, calling people to faith, calling people to let's sit down and let's work through this. Let's talk about the dignity of the human person, rather than slogans and pejorative rhetoric and those kinds of things. So I think we need men, especially, to step up and to not be afraid to be that voice in this culture. You know, like John the Baptist was.
Exactly.
You know, John the Baptist was the herald of Christ, the herald of the word of God. And he spoke boldly and he spoke prophetically. And we need voices like that in the culture to stand up, to be countercultural. Remember, Jesus said, we're in the world, but not of the world. You know, we have to put on the mind of Christ and stop thinking or acting like people of the culture, or else we'll never find any solutions to any of the situations that we're facing today.
Men need to stop hiding in the pews. John the Baptist was a man. I mean, he wore rough clothing. He ate honey and whatever he could, locusts in the desert.
Locusts and honey, yeah.
He was a gnarly dude. And he yelled. He shouted, repent, prepare the way of the Lord. And so many men have bought into that philosophy. You know, the story of Saint Francis, when he went into a city and the young brother said, well, what will we say to them when we come to the city? And Saint Francis said, well, we're only going to speak when it's necessary. We're going to share the gospel, but only speak when necessary. As if to say, people take that one line out of the context of Francis's whole life, and they use that as their excuse to cop out. Okay, so you are pro-life. Is that an opinion? Or are you praying in front of the pro-life against the Planned Parenthood center? Are you donating? Are you standing with the vulnerable women that you know in life? I think it's time for men's voices to be heard. The shout of John the Baptist. It's time to be bold. That doesn't mean to be a jerk, but it's time when you're out with other people to speak your mind and not be cowed and bullied by the narrative. People are afraid to speak their mind because the minute they disagree with the narrative, they're called racist, or they're called, idiots, but we need to begin to not just, you know, live the faith by our actions, which is so important. We need to first do that, but we need to actually speak and to share. How do you, if someone's a man today and he's out watching a football game with some friends, and you know, it's halftime and subject comes up, and people start doing this, the narrative, how can they engage the others in a conversation that's more faithful to truth?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, because what's also been happening with the COVID-19, there's been isolation, social distancing. What I like to call social isolation is what it is. And so what's been happening? But not being able to get to mass, but not been able to go to adoration, not been able to go to the men's groups or to, you know, the men's retreat or conferences. And so men have been isolated. And so now, you know, things are starting to slowly open back up. And you're right. Now that the things are opening back up, now it's like a new opportunity for men's voices to be heard in a new and powerful way. And the thing is, it doesn't have to be shouting or yelling at the culture. Like you said, it starts with these conversations. You know, you're halftime, you're with your buddy. Oh, man, what do you think about all this rioting and stuff? You know, and so you can think, okay, is my answer going to appease this guy sitting in front of me, or am I going to give an answer as a man of God? Am I going to give a powerful witness to Jesus Christ in this moment? Because people often worry, men worry about what do they think about me? And, you know, if I say this and kind of put it out there, I don't care what they think. I care what Christ thinks. You know, we got to get that same kind of courage back they had in the early church. I mean, these people are willing to die for their faith. And we're not being asked to die, at least not in this country. Some of our brothers around the world, you better believe it, in many countries in Africa and in China, they're literally dying for their faith. But we have to die to ourselves, die to our worldly way of thinking. So when we're engaging someone, we have to bring that otherworldly, that heavenly perspective, thinking with the mind and the heart of God.
We're talking with Deacon. We got to take a break, Deacon. We'll hold that thought. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We have Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. I'm sure everybody knows who this voice is. Our beautiful, dynamic Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. You can find him, I think it's at dynamicdeacon.com, right, Deacon?
That's correct. Yep.
This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. We'll be right back. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
This is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Our guest today is Deacon Harold Brooks Sivers. Deacon, I interrupted you to go to break. Do you want to finish your thought?
Yeah. So when we're engaging with people, we have the voice of Christ that has to show us through. So if someone asked me, what do you think about all this rioting and looting and the violence? I said, you know what? It is a shame that in the 21st century, we cannot sit down as civilized people. And yes, we're going to agree to disagree, but to have a real civil conversation about what's going on in the world, to really get to the heart of what the real issues are, so we can at least begin to construct a framework for healing and for true healing and reconciliation. Instead, we respond like children, right? I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. But you know, when kids don't, you can't get this toy right now, you can't eat dessert right now, they throw a tantrum and they throw stuff and they run around, and that's how we're acting like children. You know, we're supposed to be, Christ is supposed to be childlike, not childish. Mm. And that's the way we're responding. So we need to be a more spiritually mature in our response and really open the door to true dialogue and to true interaction with people, even people that disagree with us, even more importantly, with people who disagree with us. I mean, when we sing to the choir, that's great. You know, but when we open ourselves and take that chance, even we may be ridiculed, even we may be yelled at, even the person may not respond the way that we like, at least we're working and planting those seeds of faith and allowing that gospel to be told. And who knows how God can use that for his glory.
Well, we've seen so much. It's almost like people have been drinking the Kool-Aid for too long. We've allowed the liberals to take over our educational institutions. And now we're seeing what's coming out is a lot of young people that are basically think God is dead, and to be a Christian is to be delusional, and their religion is the social contract, and socialism, and their God is the government. What do you say to the millennialists? I look at them, Deacon, and I think These are children that have not been fathered. They've never grown up. My son, Shane, went into Nepal on a ministry trip. And as he went into the villages, they had men up in the in little huts up in the trees surrounding the village to warn them when the young elephants would come through, because the young adolescent males, I guess we would call them teenagers, would come through and just wreck their villages. When he was there, a young elephant stormed the hut next to him while everyone was sleeping. And they said, he said, why is that? And they said, because they've come in, the poachers have come in and killed all the male elephants that would first of all subdue these younger guys and train them and teach them and mentor them in the right way. Since they killed the older adult males, the young ones are running rampant. These young people I see in the streets, it's like they don't have a father. Do you think there's something, there's some sort of father? We're a fatherless society. Over half the children are raised in single family homes.
Yeah, that's right. And especially in the Black community, 70% of the men in prisons didn't have fathers at home. You know, and so you hit on a very important point, this idea of fatherlessness. Now, fatherlessness does not just mean not having a father. Yes, it means not having a father in the home, of course, but it also means that even if that's the case, that those young men were still not being fathered. In other words, there were not other men in the lives of these men, not to take the place of their fathers, but to be father figures and mentors for them. You know, which gets to the heart of the question, Bear, is why are fathers necessary? Think about it. We live in a culture today that says you can have two women, you can have single moms, you know, men don't matter, you know, all they do is just, you know, provide a paycheck and stuff like that. It's like, as if we have no, you know, once our part is done, the women, you know, they give birth, they just take care of the rest of themselves. That's ridiculous. You know, if that were true, then God in his wisdom would not have allowed, I'll take care of it. I could take care of Mary by myself. But no, it was important in God's plan that Joseph be there, even though he wasn't the physical father of Jesus, obviously. This guy, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. But it was still important in God's mind that even though he is Jesus's father, that he still have an earthly father, an earthly witness. And that is sorely missing in our culture today. So when we see that breakdown of the man, mm-hmm. of fatherhood, we see the breakdown of society, and we see the breakdown of culture. And so what we need to have men, again, like in my life, my father wasn't, not even close to being the ideal dad, and my parents are divorced and all that. But my mom knew that she put other men in my life.
She proactively went out and found men that could mentor you.
Exactly. So I started to have a picture of what authentic fatherhood and fathering looked like and felt like and experienced. Because yes, when the kids are small, it's basically all about mommy. You know, but when the kids get older and they start confronting the culture and they start trying to understand, you know, where's my place in the world, when they're trying to discern a vocation, when they're looking at, you know, what is my purpose for being here on this earth? That's where dad kicks in, especially. Now, obviously, both parents are there the whole time, but in a particular and a special way, it is dad that's there to be that compass, that guide, that confidant, that strength. So when people see their father, say, yes, you know, I want to have that same passion. I want to have that same courage. I want to have that same intellect. I want to be able not just to, because a lot of our young people, they feel, they don't know how to think. We've stopped, everybody's feeling nobody's thinking. And you're right, our young people are being programmed. I mean, this whole transgenderism curriculum is being brought down all the way to the kindergarten level in many states, in the public schools. And for example, in Canada and other countries where those Catholic schools are funded by the government is trying to force this curricula into the Catholic schools as well. They're trying to indoctrinate people into a way of programming people, indoctrinating them into this cultural idea of thinking and not really teaching people how to think. They're telling them what to think. We're not being taught how to think. And I think that's a gap, a big gap that men can fill in by their witness and by their example. And that's what's missing in the culture
today. And for men to be formed in their faith, I think you know, we do the Ocean Sunrise Catechism every morning for 15 minutes on our Facebook Live. I think that's so essential that people are in the catechism on a daily basis. You know, being in Scripture and Liturgy of the Hours and the Eucharistic Adoration, that's a great place to do your catechism, Lectio Divina, really. We need to be formed in our faith because our conscience needs to be informed. We can't just do what we think is the misguided compassion is where people so often get in trouble. The verse of Malachi, the very last verse in the Old Testament, some of the Bible translations softened it down. The translation is, "And I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons and the sons to their fathers." You see some translations where "I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the children to their fathers." I've seen other translations where it says, I'll put the hearts of the parents towards their children and children to their parents. But that's not what it says. It says, "I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons." Fathers, turn your heart toward your sons. Invest time with them, spend time with them, encourage them. You know, I remember having conversations with my dad, Deacon, when I was like that high school, late in high school age, and trying to figure out what I was going to do. I knew I was going to go to college, but what else I didn't know. And he told me about myself. He kind of knew me better than I did. There's that verse that says, train the young man, your children, in the way that they should go, and when they are older, they won't depart from it. He knew, and don't train that tree to go in a direction it shouldn't go, but he knew the natural bend to me. He knew my nature. And he would confirm, you know, you're good with people, you like analytical things, and he began to affirm who I was. Young men, if they're not being affirmed, the devil fills that void. And so we can uncle the young men around us, and if you have children in your home, you can father them. And here in Hawaii, Deacon, you see the company of men still. My wife says it's very profound to her when she sees it. And right now, during this corona thing, we're seeing fathers being followed by two or three or four children, each of them carrying a little bit shorter surfboard as you go down that little line of kids. And they're taking them out into the lineup. The mother is there sometimes, but it's the fathers with the children. And I'm just so impressed by, at least here in Hawaii, we haven't lost as much as I see it on the mainland. Deacon, we've got just a minute or so. What do you see in terms of the anarchy in the streets, vis-a-vis the demonic kingdom? Isn't it run the same way?
Yes, absolutely. What Satan does, he brings chaos and disorder to orderedness. God creates things for a purpose and in a certain order. And in that purpose and order, there's freedom and there's meaning. So what you have to do, if you want to eliminate truth, you want to eliminate meaning, then usher in chaos and disorder. And that's exactly what we're seeing now. Because what people are doing, instead of being made in the image and likeness of God, they're trying to make God in their own image and likeness.
Exactly. Wow. You know?
So we're seeing these statues being torn down, even religious statues now.
Right.
So Saints, we heard about St. Junipero Serra in San Francisco. And even there's grave sites for Dominican priests, you know, where the grave sites are being toppled over and things like that. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. And at some point, men need to stand up and say, enough is enough. Stop it.
And I think that the men are doing that. We're seeing that kind of that Viva Cristo Rey rallying cry. We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. This is the Bear Wozniak Adventure. You can find the deacon at dynamicdeacon.com. He travels. I don't know. You need to learn to bilocate because he's everywhere.
Well, yeah, not this year. But
this year you needed a little break. We'll be right back with more We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Convention. We want to invite the men. We're talking about men with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. We want to invite you men to go to deepadventure.com, and there's a warning button there that says, do not push this button, danger. Push that button and join Bear's Man Cave. We have a company of men. It's a secret Facebook group. You cannot join it by looking for us on Facebook, but go to the website, deepadventure.com. And there we have this great group of men that challenge each other, equip each other. And when you get there, you're thinking, oh no, all these holy men or whatever, and I'm going to be embarrassed because I'm ashamed of some of the things I'm facing in my life. No, we're the cave of Adullam. We're the cave that where King David hid out from King Saul, and all of the misfits, the guys who owed money, the guys who were running from the law, just the misfits showed up, and God formed them into a mighty band of warriors. So come and join the band of misfits, Bear's Man Cave. We have Zoom video meetups about every 2 or 3 weeks, just randomly, different days and times. But the men post really powerful things, and we pray for each other and lift each other up. And then a lot of those men have started their own man caves or started That Man Is You group. It's been a catalyst for the spinoff of a lot of cool men's ministries. So join us at the Man Cave. You can find that at deepadventure.com. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is with us. Deacon, Pope John Paul II, I think the first book he wrote was called Love and Responsibility. And you mentioned earlier the confusion about what freedom is. You know,
yes,
that was
he
wrote that back in the free love day, like make love, anything goes, no responsibility. Can you tie those together, love and responsibility, or the concept, these two, maybe separate them, but what is real freedom, and then what is real love?
Okay, the great questions, wow. You know, John Paul II, what he did, what he does in Love Responsibility, and actually what he developed much further, more deep in Theology of the Body, was to really transform the idea of freedom. Because our culture, freedom means license. I get to do whatever I want, therefore I'm free. But John Paul II said, no, that's actually not the narrative. What the narrative is when we align ourselves with objective truth, when we align ourselves and conform ourselves to transcendent principles, that's what makes us free. So for example, what John Paul II does, he goes back to the book of Genesis and he says, God put man in the garden to till and to keep it. Right, so he gives the man his mandate, that's abad and shamar in Hebrew, which means to serve, protect, and defend. So man gets his mandate, and then he puts him in the garden. You're in charge. Look at all this stuff. You're in charge of everything. Oh, except for that tree right there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, why give the man his purpose and mission? Serve, protect, and defend. Put him in the garden. Put him in charge of everything, and then put a restriction on him. Is he holding back his freedom? No, not exactly. Because man has to understand, when I align myself, yes, I'm in charge. Here's the thing, because when we are in charge, we think we're the boss, and we begin to lose perspective who's really in charge. So the tree is a physical reminder to the man that, remember, yes, you're in charge, but I'm God and you're not. And you find your freedom, you find your authentic purpose, you find the power of love in and through me. You know, and the trees are a reminder of that. So that's when man went against the will of God, that he chose himself over God. And he thought, because he followed the voice of Satan, that he was going to be free. He actually died, right? So death in Mavet in Hebrew means to cut yourself off from God's life. He now cut himself off from the source of love. He now cut himself off from the source of authentic freedom. And the analogy that I use to kind of synthesize this all together is a musician. You know, for example, if you're going to learn how to play an instrument like a piano or something like that, you have to practice.
Do you play the piano, don't you? I'm trying to remember.
Guitar. I play guitar.
Guitar,
yeah.
Okay.
So no matter what the instrument is, you have to practice. You have to be disciplined. You have to put in the time. Now, why do you do that? Because, and sometimes when you're going through it, you don't want to do it. You don't want to practice. Oh, I got to spend half an hour doing this. But what happens, The more you do that, the more you discipline yourself. And for us in the faith, it's called virtue. We're building virtue. The more that you do that, the freer you become. The more you align yourselves with the principles of reading music, the more you align yourself with the principles of piano playing, the more you study the instrument, the more you connect yourself, who you are with that instrument, and make that personal connection through the dynamics of learning the instrument. Now, a year later, 2 years later, you're free. You can play stuff. Stuff is, and not just reading the notes on the page, you're now able to express
it's almost like you wear music. It's like the guitar becomes you. It's like it's just part of it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why you can hear. And in fact, you can identify someone by the way they play.
Right.
When I hear Eddie Van Halen, like, unmistakable. Oh, that's Eddie. You know what I mean? You just know that's him.
Yeah.
You know, because his voice became distinctive. Mm-hmm. Because remember, he was also a concert pianist. So he didn't start off as a guitar player. He was a concert pianist.
The discipline.
And then picked up the guitar. So he transferred the principles of piano playing to the guitar. You see, and that's where his voice came from. And it's just like that for men in the church today. We need to align ourselves with authentic freedom and authentic love. Love means sacrifice. Love means sacrifice. Love means to die. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. He showed us the true meaning of love. Love means sacrifice. Love means making a gift. And the way we do that is to die. Now, Jesus is not asking us to die as he did, but to die to ourselves, die to our ego, die to our selfishness, die to our anger, die to all those things that separate us from God's love. And when we have that courage to break ourselves open and pour ourselves out in love, as Jesus did on the cross, now we can be free. Now we can be free. Because we're loving the way that God loves, now we can be truly free to be the man who God created us to be. That's the key.
I remember when I was young, I would see people that it was all about the freedom, right? But what I saw was people mistook freedom for, like you said, license. Or I can do whatever I want to do, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to do my homework. I don't want to go to college. I don't need to get a job. And what I found is the people that were the most talked about freedom were the ones with the least. Their freedom led them into drug addictions. Their freedom led them into not being able to really support themselves. But the more disciplined people had more and more and more freedom. You know, they studied, they worked, they didn't spend their money foolishly. They saved. They were able to be married and provide for their children. More and more and more freedom. And if you look at an athlete, you know, the discipline of that one more push-up, you know, or we're doing your cardio workout, your flexibility training. To me, the regimen of football practice was not. Did you play football, by the way? I'm curious.
No, I wrestled.
You wrestled. Yeah. But the training for football practice, I hated it, but I loved playing the game. But without the discipline of practice and learning, being informed about the skill set and being strengthened and conditioned, playing the football game would have been I probably wouldn't have even gotten to play.
Let me play off your analogy, Bear. Imagine if when you're going to football practice, the coach says, "Okay, guys, you know what? Just eat whatever you want. Just work out however you want. Do a couple push-ups and go home. You know, just be free to do whatever you want." What? And you think, well, I'm free, but no, it's the discipline and the practice. And I didn't like wrestling practice either. You know, I was like, I loathed it. You know, like, oh, here we go again. But then when you get on the mat and you're breaking people in half, you're like, yes, you know. And now you understand why the discipline is there. Now you understand why the training is necessary. And it's hard. And it should be hard. Because Jesus picking up that cross was also hard. You know, and for example, think about it, Bear. Did you ever think, when you were coming up, that, you know, I'm going to be this evangelist, and you've inspired so many men, Bear, around the world, and you have a background in accounting, you're a surfer dude. And did you ever think that God could take what you're doing? And I mean, you have an awesome television series on The Long Thank Ride you. Home on EWTN. I mean, who did you ever think, oh, yeah, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm going to have this. You never thought about it that way.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing about you today.
You know, but
I was thinking the same thing about you before.
Because I never thought I'd be doing any of this. I literally had no plan, no thought in my mind that I would ever be doing what I'm doing. I'm going to stay in law enforcement, and that's what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. But God had other plans.
Amen.
So God takes all of the virtue, the training, all the things that led us to this point and said, now I want you to do something for my glory. I want to take all the skill sets that you've developed, all the talents that you have, all the hard work that you've done to this point. Now I want to use you as an instrument for my glory. Sinner though you are, imperfect though you are,
it's not you.
I'm going to use you for my glory. And again, the go-to guy for me, David. This guy was considered the greatest king in the history of Israel. Acts of the Apostles said he was a man after God's own heart, and he was an adulterer and a murderer. And God still used him for his glory.
Thank God for that. It makes me almost want to cry because I feel so unworthy or unable. But somehow God uses us. We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers just about what the quality of manhood is. You can find the deacon at dynamicdeacon.com. And invite him to come speak, but you better contact him early. I think we see each other more at airports, I think, than even at events. You know, yeah, when we're at the events, right. We're different places. But I think we keep bumping into each other. I think we've shared a few cabs or something too.
That's right, exactly. Yep.
You can find more about us at deepadventure.com, and also this EWTN radio show is also a YouTube video. So if you go to the Bear Wozniak YouTube channel and subscribe, you'll be notified as soon as we release it. But if you really want to see it early, go to deepadventure.com and sign up for early access to all of our radio shows, which the video version of our radio shows, and also all the episodes of Long Ride Home. By the way, Deacon, we won a Tally Award last week.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, congratulations. That's great.
We don't get to go to one of those vanity events and receive it, but it really meant a lot to me for my sons because they've worked so hard. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Man, I am so fired up talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Deacon, I want to go back to the millennials again. There's just this sense of loss, as you said earlier. People talk about truth as if, well, what you hear it in the news. They say, well, what's your truth on this subject? As if there's different kinds of truths. And the millennials, I just feel like their fathers didn't even know how to father them. I saw a young man with his son the other day at the beach, and the young man picks up a stick, a random stick, and starts hitting another a bush with it, like a little scraggly little bush, and the father, just a wild plant, and the father grabs the stick from the son and disciplines him and says, "Son, we don't hurt nature." And he was hurting his son's nature.
Yeah,
his son was slaying a dragon. You know, yep. And what do we say to the young millennials? What can they do now to be mentored and to grow into real men, real manliness, manly virtue?
Yeah, and the part of it, Bear, is that you can't give what you don't have. So these millennials' fathers, I mean, if you say, Deacon, give me $20. I go to my wallet's empty. I can't give you what I don't have myself. So the fathers failed their sons because they didn't have what they needed to be able to give to their own sons. Because they did. So it's like almost generationally passing this down. But see, but now that's an excuse. Because what they need to see is true manly men. So, for example, you give that analogy with your son. I remember when we had family night and everybody got the pick. We have three, I have three girls and then my son. And so, you know, everybody pick, everybody gets to pick every week what we would do as a family. And so Benjamin, when he was young, I think he was four, and he was old enough to decide what we do as a family together for family night. And we have a big tree in our front yard. And we had a family of raccoons living in the tree at the time. And he said, let's beat the raccoons with a stick. You know, that's what we want to do for family night. And I started laughing. The girls were mortified. Oh, my goodness. How could you say that? The poor animals. And I'm laughing like, OK, so we're not going to do that. But, you know, and so one of the things that I did when he was young was to what a man has to do is to take his son and teach him how to channel that testosterone, because that's a natural thing that a guy has to pick up.
He wants to be a warrior.
That's right. Even if he's never seen a gun, you don't like guns. You don't want your kids around guns. They will pick up a stick and start hitting something with, because they are menaced. That's just their natural urge. So what the father has to do is to teach his son how to channel that energy into positive directions. Or else, if they just left unabated by themselves, they're going to take that stick, or they're going to learn, women are weaker than me, I could take advantage of them. You know, if I just pour a few drinks in them, I could make things happen. You know, I don't care about the, you know, this other person's property. That's not, you know, I'm just going to take what I want for myself. Whoa. Without that direction, without that discipline, without that formation from another man, then you fall into lawlessness and confusion. Yeah,
train them.
So what young people knew is to see men like yourself, Bear, or I'm sure there's men in the parish that maybe have daughters, for example, but no sons. That man could be a perfect witness to this young man, for example, how to treat women, because he has three daughters. And this guy has no clue how he's supposed to. He gets all his information from the internet, and he looks at porn, and he says, that's how women are supposed to be treated. No. You know, he needs to see and hear and experience the truth of authentic manhood. And there are men out there that can be that for him. We just have to point these young people in the right direction.
I'm having this
teach them how to think.
Yeah, I'm recalling when I was young and I was bullied. I was always the new kid in school. We were moving all the time, and I was always the youngest in the class. And I was being bullied, and I came home and I was upset about it. I was probably in fourth grade, and my dad taught me how to fight. He held up his hands and said, "Now hit me as hard as you can." And I was afraid to hit his hands. He didn't have a punching bag for me to hold. But he taught, and I remember as I was hitting his hands and learning to punch and fight, I started to cry, because it was like it was releasing in me the rage and the anger of being bullied, and at the same time with my father, and learning that there was a time when I, in the playground, I might just have to do that. I might have to stand my ground and not let them push my books in the mud anymore. That sort of thing. Each of my children, I taught them how to fight. Every one of the, they had to get halfway to black belt. The rest of them, I got to actually test for the ninja black belts. But what I mean by teach them to fight isn't necessarily the physical thing, but to teach them not to be bullied. How do you teach the I'm not talking about high school kids anymore, or even college kids. I'm talking about that 20, 30 year old that's being bullied by society. They're being cowed by the narrative. How do they stand up? How do they form their faith?
Yeah, you know, John says in his first letter, this 1 John 4:19-20, right in there, he says that perfect love casts out all fear. So you have to learn how to love more than be afraid. But it's that sacrificial love, not that what Phil Collins groovy type of love, whatever song that was. You know, it's a sacrificial type of love. And so a lot of these millennials don't even know what that love looks like. They have no clue. So they need to see a man living and experiencing that. And they say, well, wait a minute. You're not living the same way these guys are. You're not the guys I'm seeing on television shows, these buffoons, these idiots. These men who can't even be taken seriously, who are womanizers, who are idiots, the way men are portrayed on television is horrific. Or they just go around killing a bunch of people, for no reason. You know, no, that's not what an authentic man looks like. So what we need to do is identify these young people, especially our college age young people who are just being, again, indoctrinated into a way. Think about this for a second. When I was a freshman at Notre Dame, I had a friend who I'm still very, very, very good friends to this guy. To this day, he's a Protestant. He's never been Catholic. And we entered into a dialogue freshman year about the Catholic faith. And when we were done, you know, we go out and get a meal together or something like that. It was never, never personal. Now, if you try to have a discussion like that on a college campus today, oh, you offended me. Where's my safe space? And they run off to their safe space
and with
their balloons and ice cream and puppies or whatever. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's the response when someone you're engaging in dialogue with someone disagrees with you is to go run off because you hurt the feelings that you hurt. No, you see, these men have not understood how to think and how to understand and channel those feelings into an intellect united with a love that dies to self and always looks as what's best for the other.
No, the whole university experience started in the 1100s and the 1200s. And you think of Thomas Aquinas, his whole thing was asking questions and then exactly. Honestly understanding the people that disagreed with him. He would present the wrong answers in their best possible way they could be stated. And then he would say to the contrary and give the scripture verse in his answer. There was actually a dialogue. Now, if you disagree with someone, you're going to get shouted down. But I remember this, Deacon. I want to talk to the young men out there right now. You don't have to do that thing where you disrespect women, where the hookup culture, where you have to get into drugs. You don't have to do that pornography thing that just seems like it's the norm. I remember, you know, I used to hear these testimonies. Oh, I was the greatest sinner, and then God saved me. I don't really necessarily like those testimonies. The ones I like was I was raised in the Lord. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ. God saved me from ever taking drugs. Personally, I never smoked weed. I never took drugs. I never womanized. I had a powerful encounter with Jesus when I was 19. And my friends from those days, now I found two of them recently. They found me. And they both said, the thing that we remember about you the most is that you respected women. I mean, that's and I was talking to Dr. Ray Garandi the other day. And he said, the number one job of a husband is to protect his wife from her own kids. But to show respect for the wife.
Right.
But young men, you can go to Paradisi's Day or look up the program That Man Is You and find one near you and begin to be with other men who can help form you in your faith.
Bear, that's exactly what I was going to recommend. Especially you're a college kid, you're not home, you may be in a strange environment, and yeah, you have the campus ministry, and that's good, but it's not specifically for men. Find a parish near you that has a men's group. And I was just going to say that Man Is You, Paradisi's Day,
yep.
or someone in the parish, and go there and say, hey guys, you know, I'm a college kid, I go to the college down the street here, and I'm just looking, you know, so many, I'm seeing all these guys womanizing, I know in my heart this isn't right, but you know what, my parents are divorced, my father wasn't around, I just need to figure this out, and you welcome that young man. It's okay, we got you, man, we got your back.
You need to be around older men to mentor you. So when you walk in, there may be older men or younger men. That Man Is You program, email me at Bear at deepadventure.com, or you can contact me at my website, deepadventure.com. I'll put you right in touch with the leaders of That Man Is You. The other thing, there's this great group out of, I think it's Oklahoma, you know them probably, David Minahan and his brother, his friend Adam, the Council of Men. It's kind of like a man cave, but it's for younger men. Or they could even join the man cave, which is, you know, a broad range of men. But you need to get with other men. You need to be uncled, as we say here in Hawaii. Deacon, where can people find you?
Just go to dynamicdeacon.com. All the information is there.
Dynamicdeacon.com. And my favorite book that he's written is Behold the Man. Have him come speak at your church or your men's conference. But if you want him to come speak, you better get in line or get to him right away, because he's so, I don't know, how many times do you normally speak? You're over 100?
Almost every week, although lately,
yeah, right,
I haven't spoken in months.
Yeah.
But virtually, I've been doing a number of these virtual conferences and things like
that.
You
just did the big
stay connected with people.
You just did the CMLA. Yeah. This is the Bear Wozniak Convention. We got to go. Deacon, thanks for being with us. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go Go to BearWozniak.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group. All at BearWozniak.com.